Hi there, it's George with a commentary or a whole bunch of comments, whichever way you want to look at it, about global business. Well, as I've told you throughout the previous lessons, I worked for a relatively large company, by the name of IBM. By the way, IBM means International Business Machines. That was the original name, which Tom Watson gave it back about 1930, long before any of us were born. So he thought of it, even back in those days, as an international business. International is very similar to global, same idea. His thought was that he could take this little unknown company on a worldwide scale and sell computers all around the world. In fact, it's interesting, I'll put this in, his original thought was that his business could succeed if he could get one computer in every company in the United States. That was his first thought. Well, as we know today, that was the beginnings of quite a explosion of the computer world. But beyond that, let's talk about this business of this stuff about global business. As you might have gathered, I'm a little older than AJ, and so I grew up in a time period where companies in the United States focused on the United States as their customers. Companies in Japan focused on Japanese companies as their customers. And as I went through my career, which included not just IBM, but several other opportunities, the businesses, all of them, began to expand. And they expand. Some of them were what you call trial and error. And those are, trial and error is like an experiment. Let's put a piece of our business in another country and see if it works. Well, the first process was to see if we could sell the products in those countries. The second process, which has caused a lot of political discussion more than anything in the United States, is moving certain operations to other countries. And the kind of operations we're talking about is what we alluded to in our conversation, things like the actual manufacture of certain products, or the assembly of certain products, or the packaging of certain products. As time has gone on, we can see now that almost every company in the world that makes a real product, and by a real product I'm talking about something you can touch and feel and grab a hold of, they use other countries as part of their manufacturing and distribution channel. Products from the United States are manufactured in India, in China, in Japan, in Germany, and on and on and on. You pick a country and there's probably an American manufacturing facility there. Products are assembled the same way. Maybe not in the country where they were manufactured, but another country. They may be manufactured in China, assembled in Mexico, and packaged in Canada, and then distributed throughout the entire world. Well, the point of all of this is you are a student of English. You are trying to learn to improve your English speaking capability, skills. You are also now a student of business English, which means you are trying to improve your business English skills. Well, I'm going to guess that there's a reason you're doing that. Probably because, one, you recognize that the world is your customer, no matter what business you're in. And, two, you have to communicate at a business English level on a regular basis. So, we're trying to help you understand the skill, some of the skills and knowledge and experience to help you in that process. Well, here we go with global business. Think in terms of global business. Think about what we talked in the conversation. What are some of the things that the skills, if you will, that we suggested that you acquire? Well, one big skill is to understand the companies, or not the companies, but the countries that you may have to deal with, or your company deals with. Now, in doing that, we're talking about understanding the cultural differences of companies and countries around the world. The dress differences, the appearance, the customs of the countries that you have to deal with, the habits of the companies and countries that you have to deal with, and the languages. As we said, English is the international or worldwide language of business, but the local language in every country you deal with is still whatever that local language is. In Japan, it's Japanese. In China, it's Chinese. A couple different kinds of Chinese, I guess. In Germany, it's German. In France, it's French. So what I'm getting at here is, here's another whole set of skills and knowledge that I'm going to suggest that you need to acquire. You need to learn how to speak English as best you can, because that is the international, worldwide language of business. You need to learn the skills and gain the knowledge of all of the functions of a business that we've talked about already: accounting, finance, marketing, sales. We haven't touched on manufacturing, but there's some differences there also. The effects of human resources, the way that you find a job through the resume and free agent system, all of those things come together. So what I'm suggesting here on a global business set of skills that you need to learn is that you need to, I'll go back to what I said in the conversation, you need to put yourself in the shoes of those countries that you deal with. You need to learn their cultural differences. You need to learn enough of their language to be able to communicate offline. By that I mean outside of the formal conversations of business. You certainly need to understand their customs, their habits. I know that in certain countries, the waving of your hand means hello or how are you. In some other countries, that's a very offensive movement. Those are the little things. Those are the little things that will help you move up the ladder, improve your career, become whatever that level, get to whatever that level is that you're trying to achieve. And again, it's a skill. It's a knowledge. I can't emphasize this enough, that your career, your life, even though you have great skills and great knowledge and whatever your expertise is, expand those skills, expand that knowledge. I'll use a phrase here. Getting a job and all of the things that you've learned and the skills you've acquired to get that job and all the time and the effort that you put into it, that is nothing more than a down payment. That's a down payment on the next job. If you want to continue to improve and get to that ideal position that you want, you continue to have to make a down payment. And the down payment is very simple. It's skills and knowledge and a mindset. Mindset means mentally focusing, focus, persistence, understanding everything you're dealing with and learning more and more and more about the next position that you are trying to achieve. It can be done. It can be done right there, even if you never leave the country. You can do it in the job that you've got, the company you're in. But it's important that you continue constantly improve your skills, improve your knowledge. And the skills and knowledge we're talking about here, probably talking about knowledge more than skills. Know your customers, know your vendors, know what country they are, know their habits, know their culture, know their language. Learn everything you can about who you are dealing with. Even though they may speak English, just like you do, they have a different mindset. They have a different way of looking at things. So, with that in mind, I would just suggest to you one more phase, and I know we keep saying this, but keep working on your skills, keep working on your attitude, keep working on your interpersonal relationships. That's how you're going to get ahead. That's how you're going to move from the job that you've got now to the job that you want. Once you get to that job that you want, I'm sorry to tell you, things aren't going to change. You still have to stay ahead of whatever the technology and the improvements and the changes in the world are. Just keep at it. It's not easy, but I will tell you, it is rewarding. So stick to it and go for it. Until the next round, it's George. Good luck.